This morning, what I want to talk about, though I do believe it will be beneficial to all of us, even the old people, I really think that it's something that I hope those who are younger will pay a little bit of attention to, because it's something that I want you guys to be thinking about as you're growing up here. This experience of me going back to college and trying to finish out my associate's degree, I've had a lot of people here and people at the bus garage or even people at school that are asking me questions I haven't been asked in a long time. Well, what are you going to do after that? What's your plan? And I'm like, I don't know. I just want to get my associate's degree, right? Like, I really have not thought much farther than that at this point. And I started realizing about myself, and maybe you young people especially, maybe some of us older ones can relate to this. Like, if I know what I'm doing next week, that's good. Like, I have a hard time thinking and planning beyond, really, oftentimes, what's happening today or what I'm supposed to be doing tomorrow. And I find myself a lot of times just living in the moment. And let me say this, that's not always a bad thing, to kind of live in the moment and be present instead of like stressing about the future and everything that it could possibly hold. Like Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, don't be anxious, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own, right? So the idea is don't borrow worry from tomorrow. There's enough stuff today to concentrate on and work on. You know, I think about the Israelites in the Old Testament time period when they're coming out of Egypt and they're complaining about food and God gives them the manna from heaven, right? And they were supposed to go out every day and gather up enough for how much? Just that day, right? And then if they gathered up extra, it was going to spoil. It was going to go bad. And the point that God was trying to teach them was, you go out and you get what you need for today and trust that I'll give you what you need for tomorrow, right? And so there's nothing inherently wrong with like thinking about today and like living in the moment and focusing on what's going on right now. But there are also some downfalls to that approach. Sometimes we can become so infatuated and so focused on what's happening right now in the immediate that all we're doing is living for the present moment. And so if it feels good, if it's enjoyable right now, if I want to do it right now, then I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to worry about any consequences that could come down the road from that action. I'm not going to worry about any future trouble that could result from it. And so that can... If we're not aware of the fact that there are sometimes long-term consequences and repercussions to our actions, that could lead us to make some really risky and dangerous and maybe even very detrimental decisions and take some bad actions. And I also think another inherent concern I would have with just living for the moment and just being kind of the go with the flow kind of guy and like, or gal, I don't want to be, you know, biased or anything like that. You could be a go with the flow kind of gal. Is if you just kind of just go with the flow, well then guess what? You're just going to go with the flow. And that's not always a good thing because sometimes the flow takes you in the wrong places and it can leave you sometimes hopeless feeling. And maybe feeling like you have no purpose or no goal. You're just going wherever the wind takes you. And I thought about that song from Aaron Tippin from the early 90s. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything, right? And so if you don't have any kind of conviction, any kind of purpose, any kind of plan, well, don't be surprised when you just willy-nilly go off into anything. And I think that sometimes what happens is that the go with the flow kind of approach, we may go all over the place, but in the grand scheme of things, and when all is said and done, we haven't actually made it anywhere. Without having a goal, a purpose, a plan, some forethought for our future, you're not going to make any real progress in life. And you as a person, as an individual, are not really going to grow and make any progress. You've got to have a goal, a plan, a purpose, right? And so I started thinking about that. Maybe you are not like me, Right? I'm good for, you know, next week, and I'll worry about, yeah, I've got my good wife who makes sure that the calendar is ready to go and that I'm where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. But oftentimes it's, I'm just thinking a day or two in advance. But maybe you are a planner. Maybe you think long term. And maybe you've got your whole life from this point forward plotted out, and you know exactly what you want to do, exactly where you want to be, and exactly what you want to accomplish with your life. Maybe you're focused on your athletics. And so right now, sports is everything to you, whether that's basketball or football or wrestling or baseball, whatever your sport is, that is your passion. That is your thing. And so you spend your time, you're like, I'm going to improve at my skills in this. I'm going to master this thing. I'm going to maybe make that team. I'm going to become a starter. I'm going to win a tournament. Then I'm going to go on and win a championship. I'm going to have a winning season. I'm going to get a scholarship to go to school somewhere. I'm going to get noticed by the scouts. I'm going to get drafted or signed one day to play professional ball. And I'm going to become famous, and I'm going to be the GOAT. You know? And maybe that's your plan, and you're like, I've already seen it. I know exactly where I'm going to get to, and this is exactly the steps I need to take to get there. Maybe that's what your plan is. Okay. Let's say you become the GOAT. And then what? Maybe your pursuit is in the area of academia or education. You're a real nerd. You're a brainiac. You like to focus on your grades, and getting good grades is like the thing right now. And I'm going to maintain that GPA. I'm going to have the highest GPA. I'm going to participate in any extracurricular activities that are going to pad my academic resume so that when I apply to colleges, I can get into that Ivy League school, that great school, and I can get scholarships and I can have it paid for. And when I graduate from high school, I'm going to be the valedictorian, and I'm going to have the high score. I'm going to be ranked number one in my class. I'm going to be a member of the National Honor Society and the Who's Who list and all of this kind of thing. And I'm going to go on to school, and I'm going to get my associate's degree, and then I'm going to get my bachelor's degree, and then I'm going to get my master's degree, and then I'm going to pursue my PhD in my field of study. And then I hope one day that I will become a professor at this school. And I will spend my whole career in academia learning and teaching and imparting wisdom to other people. Okay. And then what? Maybe academia is not your forte, but you are pursuing the idea of having a good, solid career, right? Maybe you want to be an engineer or an accountant or a business major, a doctor, a nurse, a social worker, a teacher, a veterinarian, a dentist, a lawyer, a police officer, a business professional, an executive, a CEO or a CFO of some company. You want to be the president. You want to be the head honcho guy. Well, I hate to break it to you guys, but if you want any of those kinds of careers, you're probably going to have to go to school in order to get the credentials to be able to pursue those kinds of things. But maybe it's not necessarily you want to have, you know, that traditional route to get there. Maybe you're more the kind of a person that you're like hands-on. You want to work with your hands. And so instead of going to a college, you're going to go to a trade school or an apprenticeship program. You're going to learn a valuable skill. Maybe you're going to become a heavy equipment operator, a plumber, electrician, a carpenter, a mason, a truck driver, a mechanic, something like that. Maybe you want to be a farmer. Right? Maybe you want to be like a general contractor, but the idea is that whatever field you're in, you want to become the person who is like in charge of the shop, or in charge of the farm, or in charge of, you know, you're the manager or whatever of your company. You want to become successful in that regard, and, you know, maybe make lots of money and just establish yourself as this really important leader in the work world. Okay, so let's say you do all that. And then what? Maybe it's the idea of possessions. You know that you like have this plan for yourself and for your future. Like, I'm gonna have a house, or I'm gonna have some land one day. You know, I'm gonna buy a bunch of farm animals. We'll start with chickens, and then we'll get some goats, and maybe some pigs, and maybe some mini cows. And then if we're lucky enough, we'll get some actual real sized cows, and maybe some horses. And we're gonna have our own little farm, and it's just gonna be this great, wonderful little abode that we're gonna have. Maybe it's not that. Maybe you are like want to live in the city and you want to have be in the high rise penthouse apartment, you know, and you want to have the 85 inch, or that's probably considered small now, you know, the 120 inch, you know, LED TV screen on there, the home theater system, and you want to have all this stuff, and you want to you want to have all the, I call them in my notes, I said like big boy toys, right? Or they could be big girl toys too. It's the idea, like we want the four wheeler, and you want the big truck, and you want, you know, whatever the case is, whatever the thing is, and you're like, that's what I'm going for, man. I want to get all that stuff, and that's going to make me happy, and that's going to... Let's say you do get all that stuff. And then what? Maybe it's not about the stuff, but it's about the relationships. When you plan for your future, you think more in terms of relationships. And that begins with dating some people. Finding out likes and dislikes. And maybe falling in love. If you're a young man, you're looking for that girl who is, you know, good wife material. Or if you're a young lady, you're looking for a man, a boy who is good husband material. You know, and you want to have that idyllic relationship with them. You want to fall in love, and you want the proposal to be just so and very romantic, and have the beautiful wedding that you've always dreamed about as a little girl, and you go on your honeymoon and it's wonderful, and you have kids and you're enjoying life's experiences, and you're raising your kids and you're helping them to grow into mature young people, and you're getting to go through all those cool experiences, which like I'm in that phase right now, and it's fun to watch the kids as they go through some of these changes. You know, I'm a little bit nervous about the driving one, right? We're not quite there yet. Some of you guys are there and have been there, and it's like, I know it's going to be fun and exciting, but there is a part of me that's like, ooh, a little bit trepidatious about that. But anyway, you're like, that's just, it's like all about the experience of things. You know, and we're going to go on vacations, and we're going to have these wonderful memories, and you know, Lord willing, one day we're going to help our kids to get married, and we'll pay for the wedding. I don't know how we're going to do that, but we're going to do that, and we're going to then have, you know, grandkids, and we're going to get to be old, and we're going to get to spend time with our grandkids and spoil them. Brianna says to me the other day, you know, I'm looking forward to being a grandmother, because that's the time when you really get to spoil the kids, because you don't have to keep them at your house all the time. You get to stay at home. Yeah, there's something to that, isn't there? Maybe that's what we're looking forward to. You know, we want to grow up, and we want to live, and we want to laugh, and we want to love, and we want to grow old together with our spouse. And enjoy those empty nest years, which I know some of you guys are in right now. Celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and holidays together. But it's all about these great family connections and these relationships and just building memories together. Okay. And then what? I don't know, maybe you're like, I'm shooting for retirement. I want to enjoy those golden years of life, you know? I want to be able to travel before I'm too old and decrepit where I can't actually enjoy it anymore, you know? And so I want to see things, or maybe it's not that you want to go other places and see other things. Maybe it's that as an older person, you're like, I want to have free time so that I can spend time with my grandkids and I can, you know, spoil them and things like that. Or I can pursue my hobbies. You know, I never had time to do that hunting and fishing, or I never had time to get into woodworking or electronics or painting or music or whatever it is that you've always kind of wanted to pursue because you were so busy. You're like, I'm looking forward to the time when I'll have time to be able to do those kinds of things. Okay. And then what? Well, let's say that you could plot your life out. and it would go exactly as you plan. And you would live to a ripe old age, at which point you finally pass away peacefully in your sleep, surrounded by your family and friends and loved ones. And then what? What are we shooting for? You know, one of the things about making plans is that rarely do our plans turn out the way that we want them to. God has a funny way of saying, "That's so cute, you think you want to do that? I've got other plans for you." James tells us that we don't know what our life will be like tomorrow. You know, we can make plans. We can say, "I'm going to go someplace. I'm going to conduct business. I'm going to make a profit there," and all this kind of stuff. He says, "You don't know that. Your life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. You're not really in control of the world around you." And so plans have a way of being changed and modified as we're going throughout the course of our lives. Jeremiah talks about the idea that it's not in man to direct his footsteps, but God is the one who gives the direction. I like this passage in Proverbs chapter 3. I said I wasn't going to read a lot of passages, but I do want to look at a couple in Proverbs and in the book of Psalms. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, the proverb writer says, "In all your ways, acknowledge God, and He will make your paths straight." See, when we're pursuing our plans and our goals and what we're trying to accomplish, and guys, I'm serious, whether that's athletics or, you know, music or academics or relationships, whatever that is, in all your ways, acknowledge God. He needs to be a part of those plans. And why we do what we do in those various areas of our lives needs to be to bring glory and honor to Him. Right? Paul would talk about the idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So let me give you an illustration, guys, of something that you could do for your own glory versus the glory of God. I'm going to use Colton as an example. Basketball. Right? That's his thing, right? And I know from talking to him that he's got these great aspirations. He wants to get better and improve. And he would like to one day play college ball and maybe even go farther than that. Now, son, you could do that and succeed all for your own glory. If the reason why you're doing that is simply to build yourself up and make yourself something, then that's selfish. But you could do the same thing to the glory of God. And this is what it would look like. Recognizing that every step of the way, God is the one who gives you the strength and the ability and the talent to progress and get better. He's the one who gives you the opportunities. And you look at it not as, "I get put on this big stage in front of a lot of people so that everybody looks at me and admires me." But you see that as God is putting me on a stage where I can be before other people and I can share Him with other people, right? That's one of the things I really have liked a lot about some of the professional sports that's been going on lately. I did not care for the Super Bowl. It was kind of a dud of a game in my opinion. But I like the fact that before and after, almost all of the players that were interviewed took the opportunity when they're on the in front of literally millions of people to acknowledge and give credit to God for their success. And so you can do something like that to the glory of God, making Him a part of your plans. And when you do that, the proverb writer says, He will make your paths straight. He'll help you. He'll help to lead you where you need to go. It may not always be where you want to go, but it will be where you need to go. And so we need to approach our life and our plans with this attitude, because that's what it's all about, is glorifying God. And ultimately, being in a relationship with Him. And I'm not just talking about the kind of shadow of a relationship that we get to be in with Him while we're here in this life. But it's really about after death, what then? Because let me tell you something, there is something waiting for us after this temporal life is over. We call it a lot of things. We call it eternity. We call it paradise. We call it heaven. But it's the idea that you have the opportunity to be in the presence of God, to see Him as He really is, and to worship Him forever and ever. There are so many passages in the New Testament that encourage us that while we're here in this life, we need to keep our eye on the prize, right? Colossians chapter 3. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, don't store up your treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up your treasures in heaven, where it will be an eternal reward. Guys, the reality is that if we miss heaven, if we miss that opportunity to be in the presence of God for eternity, I don't care what you've accomplished in this life. You have missed everything. Right? Jesus preached one time that if a man could gain the whole world and it would cost him his soul, what would it profit a man? If you could accumulate everything possession-wise, experience-wise, relationship-wise that could be had on this earth, but you don't have a relationship with God that leads you to be home with Him for eternity, you've missed everything. There's a couple psalms I want to direct your attention to real quickly. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, beginning in verse 7. David writes, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I like that idea. I'm thinking about the Lord. The Lord's the one who's counseling me, guiding my life. And when I'm standing next to Him, nothing can shake me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Now, I know that this psalm is quoted in the New Testament and is applied to Jesus' resurrection. Right? It's specifically applied by Peter to the fact that David prophesied long ago that God said, I will not abandon your soul to Sheol, the grave, nor will He allow His Holy One to undergo decay. And Peter makes the observation, well, David's grave is still here. His bones are still with us. So he wasn't talking about himself. He's talking, looking forward to the time of Christ when Christ would be raised from the dead. But let me tell you something. I think there is a sense in which David is still talking about himself. Because the reality is that David will not be abandoned to the grave forever. One day there will be resurrection. And all who have died will be raised, including David. And he's saying, you know, whatever happens to me in this life, it doesn't really matter. Even when I'm dead, I know that's not the end. I will get to be in the presence of the Lord forever. Right? And we could squabble about the timing of that. You know, Paul certainly talks about the idea that he's ready to die in the Philippian letter. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, why is it gain to die, Paul? Well, because then I get to go and be with the Lord right now. Right? He talks about in 2 Corinthians the idea that, we're in this temporal tent, this fleshly body, and we're kind of groaning and it's painful and it can be sore and it can be hard, but we're longing for the time when we get to be with the Lord. We'll shed this earthly temple this earthly tabernacle. We have a better one, something built in heaven, it says, for us. And I don't want to get hung up on all the details. What I'm saying is this, is that these guys who lived before us, who experienced relationship with God, their commentary on life was this. What happens to you in this life is not the end of everything. Because there's something way better waiting for us after this life is over. So we need to be looking for that time. I want to wrap up by just sharing one more verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, for the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all." Listen to this, guys. Listen. Who's going to get that crown of life? Who's going to get that reward? Not just Paul, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What are your plans for the future, guys? If you've only thought as far as this life, you need to answer this question. And then what? The only way to experience something that is truly meaningful and lasting, and when I say lasting, I'm saying it's never going to end. It will be forever, eternal. The only way to experience that is to begin right now pursuing a relationship with God. And he's given us all of the tools, all of the means, all of the information necessary. He's done everything on his part to make that a possibility for us to actually be in a relationship with him. But we have to want to be in a relationship. We have to want to pursue him. And I will tell you guys this. This life is not always going to be easy, even when you're pursuing God. Even when you are in a relationship with him. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be hardships. You're going to do a bunch of stupid stuff that is going to make a mess of things. I know. I've been there. In a lot of ways, I still am there. But it's by having that connection with Christ that even when you mess up again, you can be confident where you're going to go eternally. Because if you miss heaven, you've missed everything there is to miss. I implore you this morning to think about your eternal destiny as you plan your future.